Welcome, folks. Always do the mute thing. Welcome, folks, to another episode of the Career Talks Real Talk podcast with my special co-host, Ms. Tiffany Human. How are you, Tiffany?
Oh, I'm good, Orlando. How are you doing?
Good, good. Always happy on a Friday when we connect.
Me too.
A great thing. We start the week off or start the day off at the end of the week with an amazing collaboration and information to help folks drive themselves into the weekend with some good nuggets and strategies. And so super excited. Absolutely excited. How about you?
Oh, likewise. And I'm really excited to dive into today's topic on job searching through referrals, because it's such a powerful method. I'd say especially important in today's landscape where there's a lot of movement happening and really an important time to tap into relationships, whether current relationships, past relationships, new relationships. So I think it's going to give our listeners a lot of great tangible takeaways on how you can really leverage this type of strategy in making some great strides in new job opportunities.
Absolutely. It does seem like now, even more importantly, the referrals, the network matters, again, more than it did maybe during the pandemic. You probably had a little more flexibility and opportunities were coming your way, but it does seem like it's heightened to where now you need to leverage as much as possible to make that work for you. So super excited for that. So what are some things you're seeing? Let's dive in there.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing the power of referrals in accelerating job opportunities. That's a big one. Obviously there's still countless online applications being done, and that's absolutely fine. But at this stage, we need to do things that are going to set ourselves apart. And ultimately, people get people jobs. And so recognizing the importance of that, whether speaking with direct decision makers of the role that you have in mind, or speaking with people internally in that organization, or even tapping into your existing network who might work at your target organization without you even realizing. Maybe they've switched roles and now they're working there. There's just a ton of opportunity of building on relationships who can also further advocate for you and possibly even serve, as we said, as a referral. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies even offer referral incentives because they really value their own employees bringing people in, because they understand what it takes to succeed there. So there's quite a lot of traction I'm seeing, whether through my clients or just in general in the landscape right now of job searching, where referrals are going to be likely your number one strategy that will get you in front of the right people at the right time to land that next role.
Yeah, and I know we talked about networking before, and when you think about your referral and network kind of sitting in the same ecosystem, but I want to define the two a little bit here. Let's see if my brain makes sense. So obviously we have folks who used to just let, or still do probably just, you know, send a request on LinkedIn and say, hey, if you find anything, help me out. And we kind of said, well, that's probably not the best strategy, because one, you're not giving them the right ammunition, the right language to be an advocate for you. When you just said that, I think the referral is more meaty. And what I mean by that is this is someone who's truly going to cut through the red tape for you, mm-hmm. and advocate for you, follow up for you, and give you, you know, feedback as much as possible, right? So is it that warm referral versus a cold referral, just saying, hey, I'm looking for anything, versus knowing someone that, you know, you're close with or you've kept communications with and that can really say, hey, Tiffany is someone that I'm definitely, you guys need to have a conversation with at a minimum, right? Just at a minimum, because that referral can't guarantee you the job. But I think the goal of the referral is at least to put your resume in front of the right people. Mm-hmm. And if, depending on how much influence they have and, you know, how that works in that organization, to even push a little bit again, to at least get you on a first initial phone call. So, deepening that referral, that those relationships, I think, are better. So how we do that, Again, it's different ways, different strategies to keep warm. It's no different, again, than touching base with these people, not just when you need them, but on a consistent basis. And you've built a friendship in some sorts, but you have a good brand for them to feel confident to say, yep, I'll absolutely go to bat for you, Tiffany. I'm walking this over to them right now, sending this, I'm typing the email up, I'm highlighting the bullet points, I'm sharing all the things, the nuggets that match the job description and why you should be, and I'm telling you now, I'm going to follow up for you.
Yeah.
Call, let me know, and I'm going to follow up for you. So it's those types of referrals that I think are needed now to help folks, you know, land their next career.
Oh, it's such a good point, Orlando. And even building on that, touched on it, but the trust factor is so key, right? We have to be really focused on building meaningful relationships, not transactional relationships when it comes to referrals. Because when we think about it, these people are putting their neck on the line, right? If we're expecting them to go to bat and put your resume through, put your name in the running, connect you to someone else who is a key decision maker in that hiring process, well, that is also their reputation on the line. So they want to make sure if they're going to be giving a referral to someone or serving as a referral, they need to believe in you as a candidate. They need to believe in your potential. And so this kind of ties with the second point I wanted to share, which is never expect the referral to decide what your narrative is going to be. I see this mistake happen way too much where people know, okay, I need to get a referral. Great. But they put so much onus on the referral contact to decide who they should speak with, what type of role would be best for them, which department would maybe be the ideal fit. And that's not things that you don't necessarily want to not discuss altogether, but you need to really direct that conversation. You need to know yourself, your personal brand, your track record, your elevator pitch, if you will, so that they get a really good sense as to what you're going to bring to the table, what value you're going to specifically provide, so that they can help connect the dots. Because that is really the job of the referral. It's not to do the heavy lifting. It's to literally facilitate the process and connect the dots for you, being an outsider of that organization. So we just have to really keep that process in mind, because often I just see, you know, amazing professionals almost do it the other way around, where there's a lot of this onus going on the referral. And then guess what? They don't come back from the referral, or the referral says, yes, I'm going to connect you with so-and-so. And then they never really follow up and it just fizzles out. So it's finding that right balance of not transactional, but much more meaningful relationships, and doing your part, doing your work in that referral-referee relationship to maximize your chances of them going that extra mile and getting you to the finish line.
Yep, that makes complete sense. And so basically, it's their role to make it as easy as possible, right? To streamline it for them, to no bumps, because What they may or may not know, right? If I'm referring you and I don't have the answers to the questions that I think may come, I look bad.
Yeah. Right?
I'm the person referring you, but like, she can do this, she can do that. But what about this? What about that? Oh, well, I don't know. They're like, well, why would you refer someone you don't know that much about or their capabilities for a role within the organization you work for? So again, having that clarity that you're talking about, so you can present to the person who's going to bat for you, him or her. And so arm them with as much ammunition as possible so it's easier for them. And what that does, to your point, it collapses the time. So if you're unclear, like you said, it's not for them to navigate the waters for you. That's not the goal. They have their life, they have their job, right? And these referrals happen when? During business hours, right? So it's not happening after hours. It's happening during the work hours. So they have to feel confident enough to break from what they're doing to say, okay, now's the time I'm just going to go knock on the door for Joe, Bill, you know, Kim, Suzanne, whoever it is, and say, this is the person. I noticed the opening. I may know the channels to cut through, whether it's a TA department, an HR coordinator who's handling the role directly to the hiring manager, whoever, but they're taking, like you said, they're taking a massive risk and their reputation is on the line. So it's, again, it's not for them to frame your outlook and your career path. That's not it at all.
Yeah.
All they're doing is streamlining and connecting the dots. But with a heightened referral to say, I'm stamping my name on this person because I know the quality of the character and the quality of the work this person can bring to the table. And so from, I'll stop there because I know you got some to add.
I'm totally with you on that, Orlando. No, I'm smiling because you're reminding me of actually a content piece I did probably like a year and a half ago. Initially put it out on TikTok, and I remember it was a post that I had done around referrals, but specifically, you know, how I also help amazing talent come into L'Oreal when I was working there. And the amount of outreach I got from that one video around people saying how much they wanted to work for L'Oreal and that they would be so appreciative if I could refer them, it got a little bit much at a point where it was people I hadn't ever met before. You know, I didn't know what their track record was, what their background was. And the immediate message they sent me was, hey, you know, I really like that video. Do you think you can help me get into, you know, L'Oreal? And I'm always happy to help. I can tell you a lot of the referrals I had brought in when I worked there immediately got hired because, again, I knew what it took to succeed and I would be able to recommend the right people. But I would have loved to rather see these outreaches start more with a relationship building strategy, right? You know, maybe giving me a little bit more insight into them and maybe also, you know, why they want to work for the organization or why they think they could be a great fit or what they'd value in terms of my input to help them in that process, instead of just assuming that because I did this one video that I'm now going to be dishing out referrals left, right, and center, you know? No, and like, I think anyone who knows me knows I love helping, you know, I love paying it forward. It's why I do the work I do today, because there shouldn't be these roadblocks and guesswork of figuring it out on your own. But please, like, really take the time to not make that ask too early, because your timing in referrals is everything. If you are just forging a new relationship with someone and immediately are asking them to give you that job opportunity or to get your foot in the door, you can burn that relationship before it's even been created. And so I want everyone to really consider that who's listening to this episode of like, what is that right timing? And it doesn't have to be months down the line. That's the other misconception where sometimes when we think about referrals and building relationships that we feel it has to be this really lengthy process. Not at all. You can show a lot of genuine authenticity early on in that relationship that after a few quick exchanges, you already feel ready to put that ask out there. But it really should not be the first gateway in that conversation because, again, you haven't built that trust factor that's so critical for them to go that extra mile for you.
Yeah, so that's so crucial. I recently got two messages this week about, you know, the company I work for and how can, you know, I can help them connect the dots to the right person. And honestly, I'm just going to ignore that because, one, I don't know who you are and I'm not going to, again, put my neck on the line at all. I have no clue who you are. We've never connected. You've never sent the message to say hi, whatever, anything like that. It was straight, can you help me? And unfortunately, it sounds bad, but we can't do that. Now, will I look at the qualifications and just pass it along to, you know, to the team potentially, depending on the qualifications? But if I see that it just seems so disingenuous and you're trying to write this, and I don't want this to come off wrong, you know, completely, again, disingenuous, and your only aim is to do X and Y. It's, you got to think that in my role or the title of talent acquisition or recruiter for many companies, we get those a lot.
Yeah.
And so we can't be the one who is always, you know, the funnel based on a DM. That doesn't work all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you didn't go through the standard process of applying, et cetera. And then even if you did, I would rather say, hey, I would rather them to send a question and saying, hey, would you be the person in charge of this role? I've noticed X, Y, Z, and here are my qualifications. Then I'd be more apt to say, hey, you know, I know my title says talent acquisition, but here's my function and here's what I would suggest you do. I'll give you some feedback versus saying, hey, notice this, appreciate if you can get me over. Like, I don't owe you anything. We don't owe you that opportunity to just cut to the front of the line and do that. But the other thing is too, is as the person asking for the referral, you need to be prepared, right? You need to be a polished package. So when that referral goes forth, and if there's action off of that referral, you're prepared, right? So it's, we can go through a litany of things from resume to, you know, LinkedIn to being ready to interview and having all your propositions and value statements in place. But you need to make sure that you're not asking someone to deliver you and you're not a prepared package for when that opportunity comes. I think that's also something that's bad too, right? One, you're not giving them the proper ammunition, but if you do, and then when they deliver, and the baton is passed to you to execute, and you're not ready at all, that looks completely bad. You burnt that bridge, right? And I think it'd be good for that person to give you feedback and like say, hey, XYZ manager told me you said why, you said this, or you just wasn't prepared at all. Like I did all this work, now what happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. 100%. And I really love what you're sharing there, Orlando. I'm seeing a message here from Amelia. Hey, Amelia, thank you for joining us. Hey, good to see you here. Saying cold DMs are not it anymore. We also know when you are using ChatGPT for your outreach. Yeah. You know, when your outreach messages or connection request or whatever that might look like just sounds very generic. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to feel that, you know. Take the time to do your research, to come prepared, to know a little bit about this other contact that you're creating this relationship with, because they will see right through it otherwise. And that can, again, also really backfire the referral before it's even had a chance to turn into a referral. Mm-hmm. I will also say this really ties closely with overall relationship building and creating an incredible support system at every stage of your career, because you might be actively job searching right now. Maybe you're currently in a role, but still looking for new opportunities. But building a constant slew of advocates and allies in your current organization, in organizations you've been a part of, always on type of relationship building is going to only further exacerbate your potential to have these referrals happen a lot faster. Yeah. You know, I've been speaking a lot with VP and C-level executives recently, and they've all really reiterated very similar things. That one, like once it gets to a certain point in their career, they actually don't apply for jobs. Oh, sorry about that. My little thumbs up, giving me a little thumbs up emoji here. You know, they didn't apply for their jobs. They were, give me 1 second, Orlando. I'm going to come back because sometimes it freezes like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So they don't even apply. They literally get tapped on the shoulder by someone they know that is referring them for an opportunity. And that's not because they need a referral. That's because they've built goodwill over the years. Mm-hmm. And this goes to my next point, which is this needs to be a reciprocal type of relationship. Right? Maybe it's a new person you're engaging with who's creating this first-time referral, but don't stop there. You know, if they've served a key role in helping you get into a certain position, keep that dynamic going. Mm-hmm. Share, of course, your gratitude and all of that along the way, but also share value back to them. Offer to support them. Offer to write them a recommendation. Whatever you can do that's going to show that you're invested in this relationship. And those are the types of referrals and allies that are going to stand the test of time for you. And I find there's often not enough of that longer-term thinking when it comes to referrals. It's like, I need an immediate job. I'm in an immediate job search. And so I need to just think about myself right now in the next few weeks or next few months. But it's really a long game. And you want to have a constant cycle of possible referrals. I know if I wanted to get a job right now, I have countless people I can call up that wouldn't feel like I'm calling because I need something, but because we genuinely created very important relationships over time, and they would be happy to go out of their way to make a connection or get me in front of someone that they have access to.
I love that. And so what I used to call that piece is being the human resources, not resources, but human resource, meaning who are you helping during your search? The same thing, right? Who are you advocating for and supporting? And I don't want folks to think, and I want you to hear what both Tiffany and I are saying, even if you're not working, doesn't mean you still can't assist in helping someone find, you know, the career that they're good for, right? Because once you leave an opportunity or have a separation happen, you don't lose, you know, your credibility unless it was, you know, due to performance or something like that.
Yeah.
But you still have those relationships in place. And so if you keep, to Tiffany's point, if you keep those relationships in place, you can leverage those not only for your personal benefit, but for someone else, right? And I think through that, just by goodwill, you know, the tides will turn to where it's an opportunity for you, because people will say, wow, Tiffany, you referred us three people to L'Oreal. You're like a conduit for this organization now that's grabbing great talent. And people that travel, stuff like that travels pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And so they'll know, hey, this person has character and can identify talent, knows what it looks for. What would that person look like for our company if we brought them in? We have all these opportunities. You know, not to say that if you're in operations, your goal is to recruit, but just to see that you have certain skill sets in addition to what you normally bring to the table, it's like, wow, this person has a network that can potentially help us grow. They're talented, he or she, and that can support the organization. So I think that will bring a full circle opportunity and moment to you by continuously, don't just be in your own, you know, cocoon and just say, I need, who else can I help?
And
possibilities, because you never know, the person you're referring someone else to may have an opportunity for you as well. You just never know what that relationship can turn out to be.
It's an amazing point, Orlando. You know, and companies place a lot of value on that. You're essentially making your HR team's job easier, right? Mm-hmm. By bringing people in and bringing high quality of talent into the organization. So there's really win-win both ways. You know, as a candidate, you are positioning yourself to get ahead faster in your job search. And for the referral, well, this could also look well on them if they have come across a great talent that is like, you know what, you actually would be a really great fit here. And I think just from what RB talked about or discussed up to now, you can really bring a lot of value, and that's going to reflect well on them. Even if they get incentivized or not, you know, financially, it's still a good reflection on them and their character and decision-making. To be able to bring someone in that they see a lot of value in. So that's really important. You know, other things that you could do, if let's say there's contacts that you want to get more on the radar of, or someone that you don't necessarily have a relationship with. I mean, maybe you've started following them on LinkedIn. Maybe you've started engaging with content. Maybe you are keeping up with updates and celebrating their progress. Maybe they've just secured a new role, you know, adding a congratulatory message to them or sending them a direct message, congratulating them. These are just nice creative ways that can build the relationship beyond the ask for a new job. And that will likely make them more inclined to do that type of referral for you, because it's not just a one-sided type of dynamic. They can tell that you're making intentional effort throughout, and that goes a long way as well.
I think the strategies they use, to your point, Tiffany, is super helpful. Is how do you, and maybe this is a question we can try to answer here too, is how do job seekers show or, you know, their authentic self when they're needing support, right? We've already touched on, sometimes it's at the immediate time, so there's a sense of desperation and it just seems cold, to Amelia's point, cold DMs, like, you know, don't work anymore. So at what stage of the point, what are some tips that they can start saying, okay, watch the market. You don't know what's going on. Things may seem great in your company, and you know, you're rocking and rolling, but here are some ways to still keep touch points with people in your network just in case there's a shift.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And, you know, I want to share an example of one of my recent clients right now, just to show a kind of a different parallel, because I can imagine for some of our listeners, they might be thinking, okay, well, this seems a little bit easier if I know the person or if we've had some exchanges, but what about people I have like no clue? They don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. I've never talked with them before, but they are doing amazing things at their company and I want to get on their radar. And so one of my recent clients, who's more in the content marketing, content writing space, she has been getting really creative, and she's actually been creating LinkedIn posts acknowledging the work that these organizations and even some of these specific individuals are doing in those organizations. Mm. And you can tell from the crafting of these posts how thoughtful they are. This is not a ChatGPT, far from it. It is so intentional and thoughtful, and only a human that has really good intent could put that together. And she's been doing this, and she's done it three different times now and has gotten into direct conversation with the individuals that she had been contacting and messaging within that particular post, mm-hmm. and was met with a lot of appreciation on their part because of the clear effort that she has put into that. And this has led her to have, you know, direct conversations with C-level executives. Apologies, I'm choking because I'm excited about this. Give me a second.
No, that's some great stuff.
But to have chats with C-level executives at these organizations, and has even entered into final stage interviews at her dream company because of a lot of these proactive efforts that she's been doing. So I want to share that as inspiration for our listeners, that if you're like, well, I'm tired of doing the applications, I'm tired of doing this, I'm not getting enough traction, get creative, right? People love having acknowledgement and recognition. And if you could position yourself in a way that gives them some of that, even publicly, you might just like get your way right up to the top in their consideration set, that will really see the quality of candidate that you can be and facilitate the referral conversation that comes later.
Great story. I'm excited about that because that's directly aligned with some of the talks I do about building a presence, not a profile. She's leveraging the platform to create content, to create eyeballs, to create attention, which then resulted in her having conversations and going further. So the strategy behind that, right? Everyone can't do that, even though, well, everyone can attempt to do it for sure. But I think the key point of what you said with your client is that there was definitely an authentic touch to it, right? So she's probably in that field and knew more about it. And then she was able to heartfelt craft the message that made sense and resonated. Yeah. And it caught the attention of those companies. And they were just like, wow, that perspective or insight was amazing. Who is this person? Let's follow her. Let's connect. Let's see what else she has. And what does that look like inside the walls of this organization? And how can that help that out? So that's, you're right, that's a thought process that she's put together to know there was an end result. Her intentions was to get noticed and to have the conversation she's having. So, and I want to urge people that when I share, you know, I talk about that, it's again, it's not to just create eyeballs and followers just arbitrarily. It's to really, what is your intention and what are you trying to do and how you craft that content over the platform. But that's amazing. I love that story because she's doing exactly that. She's building a presence and not just a static
profile. I know.
And hopes she gets noticed.
And it's amazing to see the traction that it's building for her so fast. So that's been amazing. I wanted to share that as an inspiration for everyone tuning in. And, you know, I'd also say kind of somewhat tied to that is make sure that you are, you know, really leveraging your referrals to understand what can solidify your candidacy for a certain role, because they are also really a wealth of insight. Sure, they can serve as the actual referral, but they also probably know what it takes to make yourself a stellar candidate for that company. Maybe things that you should emphasize, maybe things in your own track record that would be great to elevate when you're speaking together, or things that you would maybe want to position a certain way in a conversation with someone they might put you in touch with. So don't be afraid to ask these types of questions too, and show your eagerness and excitement that you'd like to bring in possibly being a part of that organization, and that you really value their input and the amazing track record they've had in the organization, and know that they likely have some really great insights that they can share with you that will only further bolster your candidacy, you know, should and when that time comes, right? Again, here, you're not asking for the job tomorrow, but you're kind of insinuating like, I'm ready, like take me as I am, but also help me elevate, you know, who I am in a way that will get the attention to help me advance in whatever next steps that looks like.
And I think that's a phenomenal point, because there's a gap in that, right? We're not, as a referral, you're probably not asking the questions you need to ask before you're asking them to throw your hat in the ring. You don't know what the culture is like. You don't know what the management style is, or, you know, the bonus structures or whatever it is that's important to you.
Yeah.
You're just hoping like, hey, externally, as someone who's looking out, looking in, and I know someone who works there, I know Tiffany's rocking and rolling, so that has to be a great company. You don't know what that person is going through. It may be a toxic work environment, but it looks like a great company because the branding and the marketing looks phenomenal. And you're like, hey, throw me in there. That person's like, okay, right? But you didn't say, hey, how is it?
Yeah.
Why are you still there? What's making you come back? And we know we have, you know, life happens, but and there's bills to pay. So is that the reason why you're still there? Or is there growth opportunities? What's the culture like again? What are some of the initiatives that's happening there? And so without asking those detailed questions, I think you, again, you can ask for a referral, get the opportunity, and you're at a disadvantage because you didn't leverage the inside track or resources that you have. I think that's so crucial, a phenomenal point to where you can then come across even more educated on the interview. And of course, they would know because you came through a referral, you got some inside information. But if you didn't, sometimes that can be a surprise, like, wow, I'm surprised you didn't know this. And, mm-hmm. you know, Tiffany referred you, but you seem to have a gap in understanding what we do, right?
Yeah.
Other than what's on the website. So,
so
that's a huge point. As the person asking for the referral, making sure you're asking the detailed questions, doing some reconnaissance, doing some deep dive, you know, conversations about the organizations before you tell them to push forward and get your name in the ring. So I think that's super crucial. That'll help you land an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, you know, reciprocating the effort. Obviously, this referral might be, again, working already in the organization, but, you know, ending that conversation and future conversations with them of, you know, if you could support them in any way, you know, you're always there to help. You've been so grateful for the time they've taken with you. You know, maybe you even volunteer something that you can already do to support them or thank them for the time that they've dedicated. Those little things, I know they might feel like small gestures, but they really do go a long way. And it helps the relationship to feel, again, meaningful, but also very much like two-sided, right? That you are trying to get what you can from the dynamic that will accelerate you landing that next role within a target organization. But it's also allowing them to see, you know, hey, Orlando has good intentions here. And maybe it's not something that he's going to help me with right now, or I don't need that help right now, but it's someone that I can also kind of keep in my network. And by the way, you know, keep in mind, if let's say you are the referral, the person doing the referral, and you bring in an Orlando, right? And you're like, I know this guy's going to do great here. I know he belongs in the company. And you've really facilitated that hiring process and to the point where he's hired and he does amazing in the company. That also still reflects really well on you in your own progression and your own acceleration in your company, because not only are you doing your job really well, but you also have this affinity of bringing in the right kind of talent and also possibly helping to groom that talent on the inside. So it also plays as the referral into their longer term growth plan. And when you can kind of tie that into the conversation of almost insinuating that, you know, you're someone worth betting on, you know, you're someone worth taking that chance on, even if maybe you don't meet some of the criteria or you don't have as many of the years of experience that's being asked about, it doesn't really matter. If you're like, I know I'm going to crush it in this role, I know that I will bring a ton of value and I will prove that I was the right decision, that kind of conviction is really, really a confidence boost in your candidacy. And then if that reflects well on the referral also, that's just going to have positive ripple effects for them too.
And I think that's the reason why that's so crucial. It ties back to making sure they're asking the questions, right? So even during the conversation, the interview process, I think they can have the person interviewing can have more excitement and say, hey, I learned about this. I learned about that. Such and such, Tiffany educated me on this, and this is how it ties to my expertise, right? So they're like, wow, you've really done some, you know, deeper dive research on what we do and understanding some of the projects and how now we're building that bridge and tying it back to your skill set. And especially if you've worked with that person before too, and just say, hey, I have a working relationship with this, you know, the person who referred me as well at XY company. And so this is why, you know, when you weave that into the conversation to solidify, you know, next conversations and hopefully an offer. But let me jump to Khadijah. She has a question. She says, have you referred a person for a role without them asking, just by chatting with them and their presence was felt? I personally haven't. I'm not sure. Yeah, if I'm understanding that, without them even knowing and just kind of refer them for a role, I haven't. I refer roles to people and saying, hey, I think you'd be a good fit. In the event that you're looking, here's something I think you might want to take a look at. But I don't think I've never referred that person to the company without them knowing. Yeah.
I'm kind of on the same page with you on that, Orlando. Although I have supported quite a few of my clients in facilitating referrals for them. I I have established a pretty expansive network over the years. And so if there's a client in my programs, as an example, where I'm like, you know what? I think you would be great for this organization. I've got a solid contact there. I'm going to just create that introduction for you. Of course, I let them know. I don't do it behind my client's back. I make sure they're very well aware and that it's something they would be interested in. But pretty much every time I've suggested that, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you would help me with that. That's amazing. I would love to, you know, have that door open. And I kind of take it as far as I can and I let them do the rest, right? You know, I have a recent client in law who I put in touch with one of my industry experts that works at her like dream law firm. And, you know, they had an amazing exchange together and, you know, leading to certain next steps for the both of them. But I'm like, I'm really happy to facilitate that because even if the company's not hiring right now, even if, you know, it's not the right timing, just getting your foot in the door can facilitate those future conversations or keeping yourself top of mind. So to Khadija's point, I will always vet it, but I'm very happy to initiate that interaction and sort of serve myself as the referral because I have gained a lot of credibility over the years. And when I put a name in the running, my contacts know I'm serious about that person. And it's proved very successful in the past. So I hope that answers for you, Khadija, but I've definitely taken some liberties there.
I love that. So it's never a case where give you a call and say, hey, Tiff, what's going on? How are you? Hey, at 1 o'clock, I got you an interview with company.
Are you like, oh my gosh. No. I'm all for, you know, being prepared and doing your homework and doing your research. And even with the example I just shared with my client in law, like I really helped her prepare for that conversation because she was like, oh, this is great. It's the partner. Like, oh my goodness, like he's in charge of recruitment for the company. I'm like, I know. She was a little nervous. I'm like, here are some things that you'll probably want to bring up in the conversation. And we really plotted out what that would look like. And it ended up being an amazing talk. She's like, oh my gosh, he was so personable and he made me feel so comfortable. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I attract good people. But it's also, I like helping my people feel very, very comfortable in having those conversations and facilitating whatever I can.
And the important thing you mentioned too was even if it doesn't progress to an opportunity, the relationship, like that can be tremendous, you know, goals and aspirations and just more benefits down the line. Because especially in the law, right? You just never know what that can look like. So I would say you just never. You can know there's never a moment when you cannot know enough people, if that makes sense, right? So expanding your network is great, and having those conversations to better understand, saying, hey, maybe, you know, my skills or where you're at, maybe too experienced for the role you're looking for, that's not a problem, but we just made a connection, you know, in the industry, and so you're someone I can also call on and you know, wrap up that conversation. We'll say, well, hey, since Tiffany referred me, if I find someone, if it's okay, if I, you know, make a referral to you directly and such and so forth. So they'd be like, great, absolutely, no problem.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So now you started to develop another great professional relationship that can be a personal relationship and friends, whatever. But I think that still approach it as if you're always going to get a benefit out of it, even if you don't land the opportunity. Think of it as that's another relationship that you just connected with, that this reciprocal, you know, mutual benefit in that discussion there. So I think that's phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. I'll end with that note too, Orlando. Honestly, don't get discouraged if the referral doesn't lead to an immediate job opportunity. Please do not discount the importance of that relationship. Legitimately be that there are no openings right now or that they've just had changes in their team, but it doesn't mean that that can't be an opportunity for you down the line. And then that just shifts into more ongoing dialogue and deciding what kind of ongoing exchanges you want to have with that individual that embodies a lot of the strategies we shared today, right? The continued support, the continued engagement, the, you know, celebrating their progress, bringing value where you can, all of that is something that's going to help you stay very top of mind, even if it's not a right now thing. But of course, you know, ideally your referrals are leading to more immediate opportunities for the most part, but doing it in a really meaningful and sustainable way.
Love that. And I would just say for a final thought too, is for folks that are listening or catching the replay, is to really take action now on keeping those relationships warm and authentic versus when you need it and it seems unauthentic, because no one's going to move at the pace you need them to move. It's not going to happen. And that onus is, the onus is on you, right? So I would say act now, whether you need an opportunity or not, is still act now, build the relationships, and see how you can help. Not always just seeking the help, but how you can help others as well.
Yeah, love it. That's so good. I hope everybody is feeling very inspired to see the power of referrals. And by the way, right, when you get a referral once from one person, that's likely not the last time they will refer you. If that's been a really successful referral strategy for them, don't be surprised if they, you know, stay in your corner and tap on your shoulder down the line or become an internal ally for you in the company that you joined, right? There's so much more goodness that comes from it. And so that's why I'm just a huge advocate of referrals as a whole, whether in job search mode, internal advancement, you can absolutely leverage this any which way you look at building your career.
Love it. Love it. Folks, if you have any questions for Tiffany or myself, feel free to reach out, connect, comment, share, subscribe to the podcast, follow Tiffany, follow myself. Amazing content for you to press forward in your corporate career. Any final thoughts?
Just be confident. Go for it. Don't talk yourself out of a referral opportunity. Really know that people are willing and generous. And if you're coming across someone who isn't as responsive, it's okay. Move on. Don't let that hold you back from building up other referrals, because at the same time, you don't want to just put all of your eggs in one basket and bank on one person. You really want to have a breadth and depth to your referral network. So please lean into that. And definitely do keep Orlando and I posted of any progress that you're making. Don't be shy to reach out.
Love it. Folks, we'll see you next time on the Career Talks Real Talk episode with Tiffany Newman and myself. We'll see you next time.
Bye.